This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode number 81, and I got to apologize to you right up front. I don't have my headset, so I'm just using my little Sony recorder here, talking to it, holding it up as close as I can to give you some fairly decent sound quality. I'm in my vehicle, as I often do this show, taking advantage of some windshield time between business appointments. By the time I get to segment number 2, I'll be able to retrieve my headset again and be able to give you a little bit better sound quality. But as promised, I got together with my shooting buddy James about a week and a half ago. By the way, he's on the forum at Gun Rights Radio Network. He's known as Iowa Surfer on the forum. So you might want to check out some of his posts. He's got some good military experience as well. Anyway, we got together and I wanted to try to do a little myth busting. My goal was to get him to shoot my Glock 19. He had never shot a Glock 19 before. So, you know, I hear a lot of this stuff on the internet about people saying, well, the grip angle's bad on a Glock, and I can't shoot a Glock accurately because of the terrible grip angle and the terrible trigger, and it's a plastic gun, and yada, yada, yada. Okay, and they have all these excuses why they can't shoot the Glock well. So it was my idea. I thought, let me get James out to a range. Let me stick my stock Glock 19 that I've made no modifications to. Let me put that in his hand and let him shoot it for the first time. So we're going to talk about what happened. He actually did very well. Now, he's a decent shooter, which proves my point that anybody who's a decent shooter, when they pick up a Glock, they can shoot well with it. He actually had very good groups at 15 yards. Like, he had a couple, he had about 3 shots that were in the same hole at 15 yards with the Glock 19, fully stock. Even the sights were stock. So for those of you that say that the Glock sights suck, hey, yeah, I would agree with you that they suck, but let me tell you, if it's all you got, you can still do okay with them. James proved that. And then I had never shot a Beretta. So here's me with, you know, 15, 20,000 rounds at least through Glocks, and I pick up a Beretta for the first time, and I did all right with it. And you go to the YouTube channel, because I videoed everything at the shooting range, and I put it up on the Handgun World Show's YouTube channel. I think you'll kind of get the picture as to what we were doing. So let me apologize in advance for the sound quality, and sorry about this, because I don't have my nice headset with me. So you're going to hear a little bit of an echo. I'm sorry about that. We were in this big room right outside the shooting range, and we were just in there by ourselves, and there wasn't even hardly any furniture in the room, nothing but a couple chairs and a table. So the sound kind of bounced around, but listen carefully. I think you'll get the gist of it, and you should be able to hear it well enough to understand what we're saying. So let me cut to the interview. James and I, the Glock 19 versus Beretta PX4, first-time shooter, and we busted a couple of myths. Here you go. Here's the interview, and I'll be back on with some comments. Okay, this is the Glock 19 versus Beretta PX4 subcompact first-time shooter experiment. And I'm with James again. And so let's talk about this. We got some targets out here in front of us, and we're analyzing this. Now, James, you'd never shot my Glock 19 before, have you?
I never shot a Glock in my life.
You'd never shot a Glock in your life. So here's what I did for the listener's benefit. I took my stock Glock 19 out. Actually, it was one that I just recently purchased, and I haven't even put my my XS big dot sights or anything. So this thing was straight out of the box, and it was in completely stock configuration. Your first 15 rounds, we're looking at a target here, and we're going to put this on YouTube so everybody can see it. But we're looking at a target. How did you do your first 15 rounds from a Glock?
Well, we're firing on a 10-inch circle target, and they're all within the 10 inches. I only had 2 of them that actually hit the outer ring. One of them dropped out a little bit, but for the most part, it's about a 6-inch group.
Yeah, now the distance was 7 yards. Now, some people might think, well, 6-inch group at 7 yards, that's not very impressive. But let's remember, this is the first time you ever picked up this pistol.
And the whole point was with the grip angle being different than what I'm used to shooting.
What are you used to shooting?
I have a Beretta PX4 Storm subcompact, 9mm. And the grip angle is different. We held them up and compared them.
It is different, yes.
And it points up a little bit if you hold them with the grip angle being the same, pointing toward the ground.
Well, no, wait a minute. When you were in the Marine Corps, what pistols did you learn to shoot?
Well, there we just had an M9, which is...
Okay, so you had the Beretta M9.
92F, yeah.
Okay, so the same thing as a 92F. So you've been shooting Berettas with... Berettas are considered to have the traditional grip angle.
Yes.
So you pick up the Glock for the very first time. You fire 15 rounds at 7 yards. Looks like, with the exception of a couple flyers, 6-inch group.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then you finish the box of ammo. So you shot about another 20 rounds of practice. Now let's move over here to the other target. The last 15 rounds that you shot, for a total of only 50 rounds. Now, James only has 50 rounds with this Glock 19. 50 rounds of experience. Look at this. You shrunk your group down to what?
Probably about four inches if you take this one out, but about four with that.
Yeah, and some of them, you got about 5 shots here within an inch
and
of each other.
Well, and the center bullseye, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them in the center bullseye.
So five of them in the center bullseye.
Inch and a half, 2-inch circle.
That's after only one box of ammo.
And I think this is only 10 rounds I fired with this too. Yeah, it's 10 rounds.
Yeah, only 10 rounds.
So half of them went in the dead center, and the other 5 were in a circle within another inch and a half outside.
So what does this tell you?
Well, it's definitely an accurate gun, and I mean, it's, you know, it takes a little... One box of ammo, I don't even consider getting used to it. I mean, that's
just, not getting used to it.
That's just practicing a little bit. The first one, I just kind of fired them off. And
now, you were taking your time.
I was taking my time.
You were taking about a second and a half, 2 seconds between shots,
mm-hmm.
which is okay because you're getting used to the gun.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as just progressing through a couple of magazines, you know, and getting used to the way the gun fires, the trigger pull, you know, the trigger pull is different than my Beretta also, but it's not terribly different. It felt a little bit different having that safety trigger on there, and I don't even know what you call it, but
safe action trigger.
What was different
about it?
Well, as you first pull it, I'm left-handed also, so I don't know, you know, if it feels different from left-handed to right-handed because that it sticks out on the left-hand side in the front. And that was the first thing I had to pull, and I was kind of pulling it back on my middle pad of my finger.
Right.
And so you kind of pulled that one until you felt the other one, and then shortly after is when it would break. And
it broke a little bit differently, didn't it?
Yeah, and it just felt a little bit different because you had some free play with that safety trigger.
But it looks like you got you got used to it.
Oh, I got used to it, and that's the thing is, I mean, that's a little bit different at first when you're firing that and being left-handed, things feel different too. So, you know, it's there's some different things I'm sure for a right-hand shooter, and feeling that trigger might feel a lot more natural if you're right-handed because your finger falls across it in a different
yeah.
order.
Yeah, I mean, it's a third generation Glock, and they were pretty much built for the right-handers. The fourth generation Glocks are a little bit more left-hander friendly, from what I understand. I haven't shot one yet. Now let's look at my target. Sorry about the echo, folks. We're in a room separate from the range, and there's nothing, hardly anything else in this room. Now, what I did is I picked up your Beretta PX4 subcompact for the first time. Now, I had never shot this pistol. In fact, I'd never shot any Beretta in my life. The big difference is, for newbies listening to this podcast, the Beretta has a double-action, single-action trigger. So that first pull was a long, stiff, double-action pull. But I got to tell you, your single action trigger is sweet. That thing is smooth. So I fire 15 rounds, and I put them all in about a 5.5-6 inch circle, except for one. Now that one low left flyer, that was my double action shot. That was the first one that came out of the barrel, and I remember that. And after that, the single action, I dumped them all within a nice group. Again, 7 yards, you might say, oh, I'm not very impressed, Bob, a 5-inch group at 7 yards. But first time ever shooting the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually, it was 1 second per shot. And I was not really standing there and aiming carefully. I was actually sort of, you know, moving right along with my shots.
Mm-hmm. I guess, well, the easy break on the trigger would probably also, like you said, surprised you a couple times.
It's the first time it surprised me. The single action surprised me. After I fired that long double action, I reset the trigger, and I wasn't expecting the second round to go off because it was so light. Your single action trigger, I got to say, that if anybody's considering a PX4 Storm, the single action on that thing is fantastic. Now, you said there's a conversion kit that makes it single action only?
Well, not single action only. What it does is it takes away the decock or the safety on it.
Oh, it takes away the safety.
And makes it decocker only. Which, I mean, if you didn't decock it, then as soon as you chambered around, it would automatically be in single action from there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The gun itself, actually, if you have it on safe, when you chamber around and you send the slide back home, what it'll do is it'll automatically decock the weapon, so it's back in a safe position.
Okay, that's cool.
But if you have it on fire and you let it go home, it'll automatically be in for a single action.
So, what's your synopsis? Because I have an idea what happened here, and the reason we did this is, you know, there's a lot of argument about the Glock's grip angle and the Glock's trigger and that it's a plastic gun and all that. Would you bet your life on it?
Oh, I definitely would. I think if you're firing bad, having some bad luck with your shots, it's probably your fault, and it's not the fault of that gun if it's a Glock gun. I mean, obviously, like I said, if we were able to pull it in within 50 rounds, pull it into a 4-inch group.
That's just after 50 rounds of practice.
Exactly.
Now, compare the trigger. What did you think of the Glock trigger compared to your Beretta? Be honest, which one do you like better?
Well, I like mine, obviously, because I'm used to it. And like I said, the thing for me, and I don't know if it's different for a right-hander, it's hard to judge that part of it, but it had a strange feel because of that, the two triggers, basically.
Okay.
And being left-handed, I laid my finger across there, and I got this trigger that I'm pulling.
What you're talking about is the little safety that's on the trigger itself.
Exactly.
A little safety lever that you got to pull. And you get used to it. Anybody that's shot a lot with a Glock gets used to that. And I don't even notice that it's there anymore.
Well, and obviously, you can see I got used to it, but...
Yeah, you did.
It was still something that I was noticing was there. And with time, you just become second nature to that. You wouldn't even notice it was... It'd just be what you're used to.
Yeah, it's all a matter, and that's the whole point. It's all a matter of what you get used to. The grip angle didn't seem to bother you.
No, and it was my theory before, which is why I thought this would be a good idea to try this out, since I had never fired a Glock. If it would affect me and make me fire high or whatever.
Did it?
No, it didn't.
These don't look high. You got them all. You're either right or you're in the center ring. You didn't shoot any rounds higher than the bullseye.
Well, and I think my belief is that if you were used to firing a gun with a more traditional grip angle,
yeah,
and you were point shooting or doing something like that, and you pulled out a Glock and decided to point shoot it, you probably would fire high just because of the way that the grip angle is.
Right.
But if you line up the sights, it's just like any other weapon. You could have a 60-degree grip angle. As long as you look through those sights and line them up, they're going to hit what you're aiming at.
And speaking of point shooting, there's a lot of very experienced point shooters that point shoot with Glocks. They've gotten used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've practiced it so much that they know exactly how to present the gun to the target, even when they're point shooting, to put the rounds where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And conversely, a 1911 shooter or somebody that shoots an XD or an M&P with a more conventional grip angle, they get used to point shooting that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. And you know, just like with IDPA, I've used a little bit of point shooting at certain places where we have targets real close or whatever. And, you know, that's what I'm used to. But if I did that with a Glock and tried it for the first time, went out there and tried point shooting at it, I probably would shoot high.
Yeah. But now, let's talk about your 15-yard target. And again, these are all going to be on YouTube because we got some good pictures of this, or some good films, actually. So then we roll the target out to 15 yards. You're using the same Glock 19. Now you've had about 50 or 60 rounds of practice with it. Mm-hmm. We rolled the target out to 15 yards. We placed a black sticker, a black circle sticker about 6 inches. So we've got about a 6-inch circle there. And what did you do with all 15 shots?
They're all in that circle.
They're all in that circle.
And they're all in about half of that circle.
They're all in about, you actually have about a 4-inch group here.
Yeah.
At 15 yards, and you got a lot of them, you got two or three of them in the same hole. At 15 yards with a stock Glock 19. I have not modified that pistol. And you've only had about 60 rounds of practice with it. What do you think of 15 yards?
I think it's, I mean, the gun is accurate. And I could tell a few when we dropped them out or you know, they weren't good shots. I could tell when I pulled the trigger off. I said, oh, that one's out, you know, and I'd look, and sure enough it was. So,
yeah.
I mean, that any of the bad shots were, I mean, they were shooter error. They were my fault.
Yeah.
And, that gun is just like any other gun as far, I mean, it's accurate.
Now, one thing I'll say, you may have had a little bit of an advantage with the Glock because it's got a 4-inch barrel.
Yes.
And your Beretta has a 3-inch barrel.
Yes.
So the sight radius on the Glock 19 is, you know, significantly longer than your Beretta.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so maybe a more realistic comparison would have been a Glock 26 with a 3-inch barrel up against your PX4.
Yes.
But at 7 yards, I don't think that shorter barrel made a difference.
No, 7 yards isn't.
At 7 yards, I don't think you're going to notice too much of a difference between the sight radius of a 4-inch gun or a 3-inch gun. At 15 yards, yeah, that's when the sight radius comes in as an advantage.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, at 20, 25 yards, if I'm taking a 25-yard shot, I want to have my Glock 34 with a 5.5-inch barrel.
Yeah.
But I don't carry that gun. So, you know, you demonstrated that a first-time shooter can do quite well with a so-called bad grip angle of a Glock.
Yes.
And it's not the gun. It's, as they say, it's the Indian, not the arrow. What did you think of recoil? Compare the recoil between my Glock 19 and your Beretta PX4 subcompact.
I think it was a little lighter, but...
What was lighter?
The Glock was a little bit lighter, and I don't know if that could have been a longer barrel, you know, could have been... I don't know. I mean, they felt similar, but I think mine flips a little bit more.
Yeah, when I shot your gun, when I shot your Beretta, the muzzle flip was... definitely a lot more.
Okay.
Now, again, the Glock's a 4-inch gun. Your Beretta's a 3-inch gun. That's probably part of the reason for the muzzle flip. But I like to talk about the Glock's low bore axis.
Mm-hmm.
Your Beretta sits a lot higher
yeah.
in my hand than my Glock does.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Glock and according to a lot of Glock shooters, they say that helps to have that bore axis down low.
Oh, I agree.
It helps tame some of the perceived recoil. I want to do this again, and I'll bring my Glock 26. I forgot to bring that today. That's more of a comparable gun. But I think the telling story was the 7 rounds. I mean, excuse me, the 7-yard targets. What do you think?
Yeah, I think those were... I mean, just looking at the before and after, and I, like with my Beretta, I've got, I think I'm just about at 1,000 rounds through that now.
Got your 1,000 round trigger job?
I think I probably hit that today. And then, but with this, with 50 rounds, I can only imagine, you know, it'd have to be a whole lot better after 1,000.
Yeah, and some people modify Glock's triggers. I'm not a big proponent of that if you're going to carry it. But a lot of competition shooters will change out some of the springs, and they'll actually lighten up the trigger just a little bit, and it changes the reset a little bit. Which theoretically gives you better trigger control. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there. Again, I want to urge everybody, go watch James Yeager's YouTube video. He's hitting a steel pepper popper target at 100 yards with a Glock 19. With crappy excess big dot sights that everybody says aren't accurate either. Are those stock sights on your Beretta?
Yes, they are.
I like them. I did like those sights. So, all right. Well, what other thoughts do you have?
No. I don't know. I think it just... it's only one person, so... You know, yes, it kind of is...
This isn't the most scientific test.
There's no control group, but
one of the reasons I wanted to do this is because you had never shot a Glock before.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this for the benefit of people listening to this podcast that are still trying to consider what kind of pistol to buy.
And I'm sure I'm an exception, because probably anybody who gets into shooting right away, one of the first guns you're going to shoot is a Glock, probably. You know, a lot of people, when they first get into shooting, I mean, that's the first thing that they've heard of, they know the name, and they want to try it out or whatever.
Yeah, or some kind of a 1911.
Or a 1911. But I've never, you know, I've shot Berettas, and I've shot some other guns. I just never tried a Glock, never.
And your training in the Marines was on the Beretta?
Beretta M9.
The M9. So, which is similar to what you're carrying, just a lot larger. Larger gun.
Longer, yeah.
Longer gun. Longer gun. All right. Well, I hope this was informative. And again, this is on YouTube, so go to the YouTube channel. By the time you hear this podcast, I'll have them all uploaded, and you can see kind of what we're talking about, and it'll make more sense when you see it. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Thank you.
All right, we're not done yet. There's more to this. We're actually, we got James's Beretta PX4 subcompact out now. And what are you doing to it? You're showing me how to change out the back straps.
It's got interchangeable back straps, and all you do is you pull this little thing out here.
Okay, so you pull the little pins out of the bottom of the grip.
There's a pin in the bottom, and if you flip this, you can see the edge of the grip.
Wait, before you take it off, let me feel it with the grip you had on there. Okay, so that's the medium-sized grip.
That's the medium.
Now, that fits my hand pretty well. I have sort of large hands, but you know what? Yours, let me get my Glock 19. Hang on.
So you'll probably like this.
Your gun is actually, that has a narrower grip than my Glock. Hang on a second. Make sure that we're unloaded. Safety check. All right, let's, okay, so we've done the safety check. Now, let's compare this. Let's compare the grips. Yeah, what do you think? Just a bit wider. The Glock's just a tad wider, not much. Just
yeah,
a little bit.
Teeny bit.
Just a little bit. All right. So now let's
put
some
finger grips in the front that this doesn't have. So
yeah, that's right. You got some front strap checkering on yours. All right. So now let's take that out. Let's take out the back strap. All right.
That goes.
All right. Now you got the large back strap on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that feels better to me. To me, that feels better. I like that. That kind of. I have to have a bigger girth. Now, maybe someone with your size hands looks like you the medium's better for you.
Well,
if I carried this gun, I'd keep the large back strap on it.
I like the feel of this, actually, better. It just feels like it's a little bigger, and I didn't want to...
How come you don't carry it that way, then?
Well, because I haven't fired it with that on there, because I automatically went to that medium-sized one, and it felt good, and I never even tried this big
one. You need to try that one.
I stuck the big one on here this morning.
Well, theoretically, the wider girth of the grip will supposedly tame recoil just a little bit.
Well, and the only thing with that is that I see that on this curve here, it looks like it maybe makes that bore axis even a little bit higher.
It might. Let me try it. It might. Well, for me, it doesn't.
I guess you're riding up in the same spot.
Well, see, I grip high. I grip way up high, which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to grip up high. Now, your bore axis is a little bit higher, but not as much as I had originally thought. I like that. Now, I'll tell you one thing I don't... I love this Beretta gun. Now, one thing I don't like... See, first of all, I like the magazine. By the way, one of the things about these Beretta guns, for those of you who don't know, one of his magazines has a little flip-down finger extension that supposedly lets you get a better grip. But I tell you what, for me, no. For me, I like it in the standard configuration. My hands lock right into that thing. And when I drop it down, I don't like it as much.
Yeah,
I like it up here. I like the standard. Where's your standard magazine?
Right.
Okay, I like your standard magazine better.
And I do too.
You do too?
I had to buy a third magazine for IDPA.
Yeah.
And I bought one of these as opposed to those. And these are actually cheaper. These are a little bit more expensive. They're about $4.
Kind of a neat idea. I think it's kind of a cool idea where you can flip it down or not flip it down. What I don't like about that is that if I'm using this magazine with the extended... with the extension on it, when I bring my weak hand in like that, it accidentally pops down. Like
well,
that.
It automatically does that anyway. As soon as you fire the first round, it automatically
does?
Pops down.
That I don't like.
It won't stay in place regardless.
It's kind of a cool idea.
It's a good idea, but I don't think it's...
No, it's not practical.
It's been perfected.
I do like the checkering, the front and back checkering on your Beretta, though.
Keeps it from being slippery when it's... Because the rest of it's pretty smooth, except for those couple seconds.
The other thing I like about your gun is I love this bull barrel. It's got a nice stainless bull barrel in it, and I think that's kind of cool.
The thing I don't like is the spring pin in there. It's plastic.
Well, so is the
I'd like to get a metal one.
You mean the recoil spring?
Yeah, the recoil spring.
A plastic recoil spring. How about that? Everybody's criticized Glock for that. But wait a minute now. You've shot 1,000 rounds through this, right?
It's held up.
And has the plastic recoil guide rod hung up?
Hasn't had any problems.
Yeah, so...
And the thing about this gun, too, is I've had 1,000 rounds through it, and the only malfunction I've had out of that entire time, from the time I took it out of the box to now... was at an IDPA match one night when I had to, we had to put it down and pick it up, and I somehow I had stuck my other hand up too high. I pushed up against the slide as it was as it was cycling.
You impeded the slide,
and I slowed it down, and it ended up misfeeding.
Yeah,
and
well, it's gonna do that.
That's the only malfunction I've ever had, and I know that was my fault. So
you got a good reliable gun.
I'm pretty happy with that.
I like it. I like it a lot. Now let me show you something. Okay, hold your Beretta. Get a firing grip like you're going to shoot it.
Okay.
All right. Now, pay attention to where the barrel is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see how far it is from the web of your hand?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, put that down and put the Glock 19 in your hand. You see how much lower it is?
Oh, yeah.
You can tell the difference now, can't you?
It's not a huge amount, but it is. It's probably...
Get your strong hand up a little bit higher on the tank.
That's nearly a quarter.
You're still a little bit too low. There you go. That's about how high you want to get it. You want to get it up there.
About a quarter of an inch difference.
It is about a quarter. And that quarter of an inch makes a big difference in bore
action. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just looking at it right there.
Yeah. And that's why you have a little bit less perceived recoil. Now, also, look at the barrel length here. Okay, you're not that much different. Okay, the sight radius is probably... Well, yeah, okay, the sight radius is a good inch. That makes a huge difference.
Inch or more.
Yeah, okay. That one-inch sight radius probably is what made the difference at 15 yards. That one made part of the difference. And that's why I like the Glock 19 so much, is that it's easy to carry. Although, I'll tell you what, your gun, that Beretta, would probably be easier for me to conceal. I would say the Beretta is a really good comparison to a Glock 26. Your PX4. It takes down? Okay, he just took it down. It takes down just like a Glock. I mean, it's very simple.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's four pieces.
Takes down just like a Glock. Real easy. Four pieces, basically. You got your receiver, your recoil assembly, your barrel, and your slide. Same thing. Yeah, good gun. I like the fact that it's a hammer-fired gun. One thing that I like about that is you can always tell what condition that it's in.
Mm-hmm.
Just by looking at the hammer. You can always tell. There's your... Okay.
It's pretty simple.
I like it with the... with the full-size back strap.
And it has a reversible magazine release.
That's
good.
So I can
pull that out and turn it around.
That's good. The Generation 4 Glocks have that.
Even though I'm left-handed, I still keep it as a right-handed model because it's what I'm used to.
Wait a minute now. Stop. Hold on. Let's talk about that. Wait. You're left-handed. You still keep it in right-handed configuration. Why?
Because my entire life, I've dealt with right-handed guns, and I've never had things that I could turn around. Being in the military, you know, things are just, you get it the way it is, and you deal with it.
Oh, I like what you said. I like what you said. You get it the way it is, and you deal with it.
You learn how to fire it the way it is.
You learn how to fire it the way it is. Because you know what? Lefties like to criticize Glocks, too, because they're not left-hander friendly.
Well,
now I saw you, but wait, when you were shooting mine, I saw you eject the empty magazine, and you were shooting it left-handed. How did you eject the magazine?
I just used my middle finger. I just slant the gun back and pop it with my
hand. And I saw you deal with it.
It's just a habit for me, and like I said, I have the option of turning this one around.
And you haven't done it.
I've never done it because it's just easier for... I've actually tried it on the other side, tried to use a magazine release with my thumb, and I find it more convenient for me just because of habit
to do it with
my middle finger on the same side as normal.
Well, we all like to use our middle finger for certain things.
Middle finger is handy.
The middle finger is a universal language. No, I'm just kidding.
But it also makes it it makes it easier for me. For instance, I'm using your gun. It's not inconvenient. It's not something strange for me to have to
adjust
and use it on that side.
That I could not do. I don't think I could actually. I mean, I could probably train myself to use the magazine release button that way. But if I had to try to do that after so many thousands and thousands of rounds of using my strong hand thumb, I don't think I could do it. But you did.
Well, I just find it easier than...
When you shoot IDPA, you don't reverse that?
No. I use it exactly the way it is right now. is the way that I fire.
Interesting. Now that I didn't know. I'm glad we talked about that. Okay, we're done now.
All right.
Okay. Even though that might not be the most scientific test of all time, okay, we're amateurs at doing this gun testing, it did prove a point. Somebody that knows how to shoot can pick up a Glock and they can shoot it well, even one that's unmodified. So I know I kind of go on and on about this, and on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum, there's a lot of discussion about this and about the grip angle. And it's, you know, I started the whole thing. I did a whole podcast on grip angle, or at least part of a podcast was addressed to that issue. Unless you can show me some evidence where grip angle is a major issue, I'm just going to have to go on record saying I don't think it's a big deal. I also don't think that the Glock trigger is a big deal. As you heard in my interview in the last episode with Steve, up in the state of Washington, who's a master level shooter. He's doing okay in USPSA with his Glock 19. Okay, so all you have to do is listen to that. Google Dave Savigny, Google James Yeager, and you'll see what those guys can do with Glocks as well. So, this is pretty much all I'm going to say about this subject, but I thought you'd find that little test that we did kind of interesting. And again, watch the YouTube videos. So, 15-second break, and then I'll be on with my headset with better sound quality, segment number 2 for the next topic. Here you go. All right, before segment 2, there's something I forgot to talk about in segment 1. I can't believe I forgot this, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the Freedom Raffle. As you know, in the last episode, which was posted on September 1st, I was supposed to do the drawing for the Freedom Raffle. But as you know, I decided to extend it by 2 weeks. Now, please don't be offended that I did that. The reason being is, as I mentioned in the last show, for a while I switched over to GPAL because PayPal was kind of unfriendly to guns. And I still had to kind of hold my nose and put the PayPal link back on there. But a lot of people refused to use PayPal. And I just, you know, folks, I did not want to go back to them. But at that time, I had no other way to collect the money for the Freedom Raffle. So a lot of people wanted to buy tickets and said they didn't want to use PayPal. So they're mailing me the money. It takes a while for mail to go back and forth. And some people are mailing it from opposite ends of the country. And there were some people that said they wanted to mail me a check, but they had to wait till September 1st before they mailed me a check. So in order to create some time for the mail to go back and forth, and I'm mailing out the tickets, I've extended it to the 15th of September. No later. All right? I will do the drawing on Friday the 17th without fail. So the 15th is the last time, if you're mailing me a check, to get the money in for the Freedom Raffle. All four winners will be drawn on the 17th on Friday, and I will do, like I said, I'm going to create a video of the drawing and post that up on the Handgun World Show YouTube channel so you can witness how the drawing went down, and then I'll tell you on that video how to get in touch with me if you're one of the winners. So forgive me, but it looks like I'm pretty close to the goal of 100 tickets. I haven't actually had a chance in the last week and a half to count up how many paid tickets that there's been. The last count that I actually did was a total of 70. I'm pretty sure we're higher than that now, because I know that there's been some people that have sent me online some money. So here's your last chance. I'm actually not going to make another mention of it between now and the 15th. If you want to support gun rights and support the Gun Rights Radio Network, support my show, and it looks like the Second Amendment Foundation is going to be the benefactor of the other third of the money, then go ahead and get a ticket or two or three, $10 each. What I'm giving away is a Ruger LCP, nicely engraved by Ellett Brothers. Very well done, very tastefully done. A Ruger LCP, brand new gun. My FFL is going to ship it directly to you if you are the winner. So it's not a used gun, it's a brand new gun. You'll have to actually pay for the transfer fees. I haven't been mentioning that lately, but you'll have to pay for the FFL transfer fees. 20, 25 bucks, whatever. You're still going to get a great deal. You're going to get a nice Ruger LCP for the price of a ticket and a $25 transfer fee, roughly. but I'll pick up the shipping on it. Two people are also going to win a $100 gift certificate to CompTac holsters. Anything CompTac makes, up to $100. Of course, if you want to spend more with them, I don't think that they'll mind. And you also are going to get another winner is going to get a $100 gift certificate to Knives and Gear. My friend Jeff Lytle has an excellent website, knivesandgear.com. I've been posting them all over the place and posting links to CompTac and Knives and Gear. Check out what he's got on that site. $100 gift certificate to his company as well. Spend it any way you wish. I wish I could win that because I am a knifeaholic. So if you want to pay online, you know, you still got a little while to do that. Go to the Handgun World Show website, which is handgunworld.com. Click Freedom Raffle and follow the instructions. It's that simple. Handgunworld.com. Click Freedom Raffle and follow the instructions. If you want to mail me, hurry up. Get it in here. Because after midnight on September 15th, I'm not going to accept any more payments. If I get in the mail, if I get a check on the 15th of September, I'm sorry. I'm in fairness to everybody else, I'm going to have to send your money back to you without a ticket. So just send me a private email. Some of you already have. Send me a private email if you wish to mail me a check, and I'll tell you how to do it. Okay? That's it. So 15-second break, and then we'll get on with segment number two.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and other listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit GunRightsRadio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership. GunRightsRadio.com.
All right, back with you for segment number two, but I got to apologize again. I wasn't able to retrieve my headset. I didn't lose it. Don't worry. In the next episode, I'll be back on with the decent sound quality that you're used to hearing. So I'm going to go ahead and finish this show. I got about another 6 or 7 minutes here that I want to talk about a few things. It's going to be a little bit shorter show than most, but I think you're going to probably appreciate that after the last few shows that I've done that have been kind of long. Sorry about that. But let me do a review on that Beretta PX4 subcompact. You know, I don't like to review guns that I haven't shot, but since I got a chance to shoot James's gun, let me tell you what I think of it. For concealed carry, for concealability, I think it's an excellent gun. It's pretty compact. I mean, it's, you know, it's Glock 26 size. Maybe a little bit larger than a Glock 26. It seems to me like it's pretty much about the same size as an M&P 9 compact. It's pretty close to that. I do like the fact that it's got the interchangeable back straps. I think that's a very good plus. The checkering that Beretta has done on that gun is very good. The front strap and the back strap checkering, I really like. The sights aren't bad. The out-of-the-box sights, they're three-dot sights, which, you know, I'm used to shooting those. Some people hate three-dot sights. I happen to like it. That's kind of how I grew up. I grew up learning to take that front sight, put it inside of the rear notch, and line them all up and press the trigger. Even though I'm getting used to my big-dot sights, I grew up with more conventional sights. So that's good. I like that about the Beretta. Let's see. Well-built gun. Oh, I love the bull barrel. It's got a stainless steel bull barrel. It's a real thick barrel, high quality. It looks like it's very well put together. I love the single action trigger. Now I'm going to talk about the trigger on that because there's some things I really don't like about that Beretta trigger, but I love the single action pull. It is just incredibly, incredibly smooth. You got to go shoot one. For those of you that might not be real familiar with that gun, it is a polymer framed gun. So if you're looking for an all steel gun, that's not the one for you, but it's very light. I was very surprised how light it is. The magazines are metal, which is a plus, I guess. They hold 13 rounds of 9mm, plenty of capacity. I'd be satisfied with 13 rounds. And that's a lot smaller gun than a Glock 19. So if you're looking for a gun that's not a Glock, or not that type of a gun, and if you like the double action, single action gun, if you like the Beretta feel, consider that PX4 Storm, because it does hold 13 rounds in the mag plus one in the chamber. So 14 rounds of 9mm on board is decent capacity. I would not feel undergunned with that. The trigger I like. The trigger's got a real good smooth face, and it's a wide trigger. I'd have to say it's a better trigger than the trigger that you find on a Glock or an XD. I would say that it, in terms of the shape of the trigger, I like that a lot better. Another thing I really like about that Beretta is that it is a hammered fired gun. So you can, you know, James and I talked a little bit about it in the interview. You can take a quick glance at it and you can see what condition it's in. That's good. That's one thing I don't really particularly care too much about striker fired guns, is that unlike a 1911 or unlike a Sig or a Beretta, you can't look at it and instantly tell what condition it's in. You either have to, on a Glock, you got to feel the extractor, because the extractor protrudes a little bit from the slide and that tells you that it's loaded. Or you have to, if you have a gun with a loaded chamber indicator, which I really don't like loaded chamber indicators, but if you got one, you can take a look at that or you can feel that and you can tell whether it's loaded. And you can also tell whether it's cocked real easy with the Beretta. It's hard to tell whether a Glock is cocked or not, just with a quick glance. So those are the positives of it. Very well made. I have to say, Beretta did a good job with the quality of that gun. What I don't like is it's kind of fat. It's just as wide as my Glock 19 or my Glock 26. So if you're looking for a thin concealed carry pistol, don't get the Beretta PX4 subcompact. Now, James is a lot smaller than I am, and he's able to conceal it well. In an outside-the-waistband holster, actually, he can conceal it pretty well. So it's a very concealable gun, but if you're looking for something thin to put inside the waistband, that's probably not going to be your gun. So I guess you could say that that's probably a negative. But again, you know, it's a double-stack gun. That's how they keep the capacity at 13 rounds. Let me talk about the trigger. It's a traditional double-action, single-action trigger. For those of you kind of new, what that means is that the first pull is double action, and it's a long double action. That trigger's performing two actions. It's cocking the gun and it's firing the gun while you're pulling it. It's very long and very heavy. When I first shot that, since I'm not used to that anymore, it was a little tough. That first shot was way low and left, because I'm just not used to that long of a trigger pull. I'm just not used to it traveling that far. But when I shot the second and all the subsequent rounds after that, then it was great. See, that gun converts over to a single action gun after you fired the first shot. Now, there are people who can get used to this. There's a lot of SIG shooters that are shooting SIG Sauer guns that are used to a double action, single action pull. Berettas, most Berettas, double action, single action. So if you're used to that, great, but you got to train with a trigger like that. I happen to like guns where the trigger pull is the same every time. A 1911 is the same trigger pull every time. A Glock is the same trigger pull. An M&P is the same trigger pull. An XD is the same trigger pull. A Beretta, most Berettas, most SIGs, they're not. So you got to train with that. You can make the mental transition. You know, Steve and I, in the last episode, we talked about training your mind to shoot. You can train your mind to do that. Bruce Gray has done very well in the past shooting SIGs. So you can do that. Ernest Langdon has done real well in competition shooting SIGs. But, you know, you got to train your mind to shoot a trigger like that, a double action, single action. To me, that's a negative. Maybe it's not to you, but I think it is. The other comment I want to make, and we talked about it in the interview just a little bit, is Beretta supplies a magazine that has a flip-down finger extension. I think that's kind of a gimmick. I don't really see the point in that. I don't really like it. And one of the things I didn't like is when I brought my weak hand into position, my weak hand pinky accidentally flipped down that magazine extension, and I didn't want it to be flipped down. I don't like the feel of it. My hands don't fit it very well with the magazine extension. It fits it just fine. I can. By the way, a positive of the gun is I can get all of my fingers on that grip, even with the short magazine. I do like that. Can't do that with the Glock 26. There's no dangling pinky on the Beretta PX4 subcompact. I like that. No dangling pinky when you grab the grip. Even though I've learned to shoot my Glock 26 with a dangling pinky, and there's a lot of people who can do it, check out Hickok 45 on YouTube. He shoots his Glock 27 very well. But if you don't like that kind of a grip, then the PX4, the Beretta PX4 subcompact, that's a good feature about it. But I certainly don't like the flip down magazine extension on one of the mags. It's too funky. I just don't care for it. It's hard to describe on an audio podcast. You have to go pick one of those guns up to look at it. I would carry that gun without the manual safety engaged. That's another thing I don't like about it. You actually have to push up on the thumb safety to disengage it. Now, if you're trained on Berettas, that might not be a bad thing. But I like the thumb safety on a 1911 better. If I'm going to carry a gun with a safety, with a thumb safety, I don't like them. You guys know that. I don't like guns that I have to worry about disengaging a safety if my life is in danger. But if you do like a gun like that, the 1911, I think, has a much better safety. It's much more intuitive than the Beretta. The Beretta, you have to flip it up. The 1911, you flip it down to disengage it. To put the gun into the fire, to make it fire, you disengage by pushing it down. I don't like to have to flip that Beretta's safety upwards. Therefore, if I carried that gun, I would carry it with no safety engaged. Because, let's face it, the first pull is a long double-action trigger anyway. I think that's safe enough. It's kind of like the comment I made a few weeks ago about Carr is now putting out their little pistols, their little double-action-only pistols, with a thumb safety. That's ridiculous. That is, I just think that's absurd. That's an answer to a problem that doesn't exist. If you have a long double-action trigger pull, you know, you don't need a safety. Look how many people used revolvers for so long. And the revolvers have a long double-action trigger pull. No safety, no manual safety on a revolver. So that's how I would carry that Beretta. I personally think that the safety on that gun, on the Beretta PX4 subcompact, I think it's not necessary. And I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm going to give you my opinions. And you know what? Set me straight. If some of you, you know, have some different opinions, I would love to hear it. You know I'm open-minded. I like comments. I like comments on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum. I like comments on the YouTube channel. I like, you know, answering your feedback. So go ahead and hit me with whatever kind of feedback you have about the safety on that. But I just simply don't care for it. So overall, in closing, excellent gun. Good gun. Make your own choices. Again, I'm not going to try to steer you one way or the other. You know what kind of guns I like, but let's face it. It all boils down to, what do you feel comfortable carrying? What do you feel comfortable shooting? What can you get on target with? And what can you get quick follow-up shots with? I have to say that Beretta, I could get real quick follow-up shots. That's what I love about that single-action trigger. The follow-up shots are great. Better than a Glock. Better than any M&P I've ever shot. So that's a huge plus to that gun. And it's accurate enough. For a concealed carry gun, it's perfectly accurate enough. So, oh, and by the way, James said he got a pretty good deal on it. He got his for, I think, less than $400. But I think he just caught a wild sale that is kind of rare. But I think it's still an under $500 gun, or maybe just barely over $500. So it is priced right. I got to say, if you're on a budget and you're looking for a high-quality gun that's not going to break the bank, then I would say that that Beretta PX4 subcompact is also a good gun for that. So there's my review on it. Since I got a chance to shoot it, now I can give you my objective opinion on it and take that for what it's worth. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close. Again, a short show, but you know what? The last shows have been so long. I appreciate you hanging in there with me, talking with Steve and talking about low light shooting and talking about close range gunfighting class that I just took. So I've given you a break this week. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Bob Main, and the reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. So thanks for listening to another episode, folks, and I'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.